It's a bad sign when the preacher gets up to preach and his family leaves, right? It's good to see everybody here today. And you know, Gary's exactly right in what he said. This church family always comes through. You've come through so much for so many people. And we have another opportunity today to do that with our VBS coming up this week. If you look at the sign-up sheet in the foyer, there's a few blanks that are still there. We need a few more volunteers. Particularly, we need some group leaders, two group leaders. And that job just consists of taking your group from station to station. They'll go to a station for teaching, crafts, games, and so forth. So if you can do that today, we'd really love for you to put your name on the list so we'll know that we have that covered. And remember to invite your friends and family. Let's make this VBS as successful as all the other ones have been, even more so. So this morning, do you ever feel like you're bound by chains? Does anybody ever feel like they're all tied up in something? Does life ever make you feel like you're a slave to somebody or to something? You know, life boxes us in, doesn't it? We allow life and all the struggles we face sometimes to just put us in a box sometimes. Maybe this happens because of an illness. Maybe we feel boxed in because of a relationship. Maybe we feel trapped financially. If you're in a dead-end job, you might feel like your career is bound in chains. Situations in this life can make us feel like we're in chains. But spiritually speaking, we never have to feel that way. Amen? Spiritually speaking, we never have to feel like we're in chains. If you are a Christian this morning, your chains have already been broken. Jesus broke those chains when he died on the cross for your sins. Amen? Amen. I want to share a song with you this morning.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves wanting same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, if you feel alone,
I love that song because we all need freedom, don't we? We all are in need of freedom. You know, God breaks chains. We do serve a prison-shaken Savior. I want to read today from Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and he said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and they said, "These men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, and he fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all those others in his house. At the hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, and he set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Amen. That is what it is all about. Amen. What's interesting here, there are actually three groups of people referenced in this scripture who are in bondage. Three groups of people who do not have freedom. And the first one is the slave woman. We're told that she's a woman who's filled with an evil spirit and she's a slave. And she's being used by her owners to go around and make money for them by telling their fortunes. These people used this woman for their own interest, their own benefit. They were served by her spiritual enslavement. We don't know if it was the spirit that was prompting her to follow after Paul or Silas, or if it, maybe it was her own desire to be free, but she was going around behind them and shouting and yelling and causing a ruckus. And for whatever reason, Paul and Silas get a little bit annoyed, right? You ever get a little bit annoyed? Just me? Me and Ruth Ann. Okay. No one else gets annoyed. That's great. Sometimes we get annoyed. Paul got annoyed. He'd had enough. I would love to think that this happened out of the kindness of Paul's heart, but it doesn't really sound like that's the way it happened. Paul was annoyed, and he commanded that this woman be set free, that the spirit leave her. And while maybe Paul's intentions weren't what we would call the best, when God saved this woman from this spirit and freed her from this bondage, he had in mind her best interests. And with Paul's words, God brought healing to this woman. Her chains were broken. She was set free from this evil spirit that had occupied her for probably a long period of time. She experienced freedom this day because of God's power. Do you need freedom today? The world can make us feel like we're slaves. Slaves to our stuff. Slaves to our job. Slaves to our discouragement. Slaves to other people. Maybe we feel like our only purpose is to be here as a slave to someone or something. This woman was set free from what enslaved her. People saw that. God's power was on full display. And with God's power, this woman was set free. But you know, the reality is sometimes when we experience a physical freedom, there can be problems, right? There were problems here. The woman being freed stirred up some trouble. Her rich and powerful owners were not pleased, were they? They were mad. Why? Because their ability to make money was gone. So they went around and they stirred up the crowd and stirred up the townspeople and hauled them in before the magistrates. And Paul and Silas didn't get a trial. They didn't get a chance to tell their side of the story. They had no due process. They were flogged and beaten and put in prison. And the only reason they were put in prison is so they would be there for further punishment, maybe even death. We see this in our world today too, church. We see this a lot. We see there are always those who will put making money above the freedom of other people. That's a sad reality about our world, isn't it? Their money gives them power, and they use it against people they view are in their way. The rich and powerful can use their money to remain rich and powerful. We see this in corporate structures that give CEOs millions while the workers barely make a living wage. We see this in the way farmers barely have enough sometimes to cover their crops and the harvesting, but yet there are those at the top who seem to make money. That's a reality about our world. And we see Paul and Silas encountering that here. They offended some rich and powerful people, and there were consequences. They were locked up. The chains of the slave woman were broken, but it cost Paul and Silas their physical freedom. Have you thought about that? The second person we see enslaved here is actually a group of people. It's the jailer and his family. It might seem kind of ironic that the person charged with keeping prisoners in prison was himself enslaved, but I can assure you he was. He and his family were part of the worker class, and as long as they did everything right, their lives would be pretty good. But when a prisoner would escape, their very lives were at stake. This man was given the specific task of keeping Paul and Silas in prison. And if something happened on his watch and they were to get free, then it would cost him his life, and the authorities would probably go and kill his family as well. So when the earthquake happened and the gates swung open and the chains fell off, this jailer decided he would kill himself, hoping that maybe by taking his own life, the powers that be would spare his family's lives. But then truth sets in. Paul and Silas call out and they say, "Man, we're still here. We're all still here." And by remaining, they saved the life of this jailer, and likely the lives of his family. Can you imagine what that jailer felt when he realized they were all still there? You know, we don't have to imagine too much about what he felt, because we know he was very interested in what Paul and Silas were saying. Because he asked them a question. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul tells him to believe in Jesus, and we know that he and his family were baptized into Jesus Christ. They found freedom that night. They found freedom from their chains. They found freedom from their sins. Their chains were broken, the jailer and his family. And a reality about God, God is always waiting. He's always reaching out. And he always desires that we come to him. Prisoner, the slave woman was freed. The jailer and his family were freed. And the third imprisonment we see here is that of Paul and Silas. They are beaten, just like Jesus was beaten. They weren't given an opportunity to tell their side. They were thrown into the cell, the very middle of a deep, dark dungeon. And not only did they have guards put over them to make sure they didn't escape, but they were fastened with stocks and handcuffs and chained to the floor, the walls. But here's the most amazing part. What does Acts tell us they are doing while they're there in that prison? Singing, praying, praising God. And all those in the jail heard them. You see, every person there as a prisoner was imprisoned. Paul and Silas were free, weren't they? Physically speaking, they were in prison. But spiritually speaking, they were completely free. They were free of hatred. You know, if that had been me, I'd have been having some hatred in my heart probably, thinking I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't even get a chance to due process. And now here I am, not just a prisoner locked in a cell, but I'm in the inner cell, the deepest, darkest pit of this dungeon. And I'm not just there, but I'm chained there and I can't move. And it is a hopeless situation. Anybody else be feeling that? Ruth Ann and me again, right? That's what I would be feeling. That wasn't where Paul and Silas were focused, church. Where were they focused? They were focused on God. They were singing and praying and praising God in that inner cell that night, free of the hatred that most of us would feel, free of the hopelessness that certainly would be creeping in, free of everything the world threw at them to imprison them spiritually. They were free of that, church. And it's probably because they knew the words to Romans 8, 38 and 39 to be true. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul and Silas knew no prison could hold them as long as God was with them. Even without the earthquake, they were still praising God. Now, were they comfortable in there? Probably not. But isn't that the reality of our walk with Christ? Don't we feel uncomfortable sometimes? I'm sure that dungeon smelled bad. I'm sure it was damp and nasty. And I'm sure those stocks didn't feel very good fastened around their legs and arms. They were definitely uncomfortable. And the reality is, sometimes we will be too. Maybe we're uncomfortable at work when everyone's surrounding the water cooler telling jokes or talking about gossip, and maybe they leave us out. Maybe you feel uncomfortable at family gatherings where some people just aren't that impressed that you belong to Jesus. Maybe you feel uncomfortable around certain friends that you knew before you put on Christ, and they don't understand or know why you're different, and maybe they persecute you a little bit. You know, life is uncomfortable for the Christian. If we never experience uncomfortableness as a Christian, then we really need to look inside and see who it is that we're following. Because when we're following the path God wants us to follow, we will feel uncomfortable in this world. But we also know our God is always with us. He always loves us, and we are conquerors because of Jesus. There always are going to be situations that come into our life that cause us to be disturbed and have problems. But you know what? God is always there. Corrie Ten Boom talks about the words her sister wrote as she died in a prison camp. She wrote the following words, and she said, "Tell the world there is no pit that God is not deeper still." In other words, there is no pit that is so deep and dark that God is not there. And if you're a Christian, there is nowhere you can go where God is not. There is nowhere you can go without hope. Whether or not you feel God in your circumstances or not is not relevant to the fact He's still there, because He is. Now, sometimes we miss Him. Sometimes we may not see it. Sometimes our focus might be on getting out of prison instead of the fact God is right there with us. But it doesn't change the fact that He is still there. It is the nature of God to be with us. It's the nature of God to save us. He is a God who wants to free us, church. He wants to free us from our sins. He wants to free us from eternal death. And it's important to remember, though, sometimes when the chains are broken, spiritually speaking, when we come to Jesus, sometimes those physical chains might remain. Sometimes those physical chains might remain for a period of time. In other words, there might be things that we have to do or experience, or things that God has us experience before the physical freedom occurs, and maybe physical freedom never occurs on this side of eternity. But the spiritual freedom is what we're promised. Paul and Silas are the example of this. They're locked up in chains, aren't they? They're imprisoned. An earthquake happens. An earthquake that could result in their immediate freedom, right? Think about that. Now again, Matt Oliver in that inner cell, in that deep dark dungeon, fastened with those chains, thinking all hope is lost, thinking there's no way I'm ever going to get out of this. They didn't even let me have a trial. And all of a sudden, the earth shakes, and I see a path to freedom. Going to be hard not to take it, isn't it? Going to be hard not to take it. But Paul and Silas don't do that. Even though they could be free, they're not yet free physically. They stay. They don't just stay, but they go and report to the jailer, and they say, hey, we're all still here, buddy. And they minister to him. And they minister to his family. And they help them break their chains. We read in Acts 16, beginning at verse 35. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with this order: release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us into this prison. And now they want to just get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. So the earthquake happened. They could have been free immediately, but they stayed. And they went to the jailer's house and taught him and his family and baptized them into Jesus. And then we're told in verse 35, when it was daylight, so the next morning is when they finally were able to leave. Why'd they stay? Why did they stay? It's because their physical freedom was not as important to them as the spiritual freedom of the jailer and his family. Think about that for a moment. They stayed that night when they otherwise could have been free because their physical freedom was not as important to them as the spiritual freedom of this jailer and his family. That's a testimony, church. That's an awesome example of kingdom service. What a sacrifice. They didn't know they were going to get let loose the next day. They didn't know there would be another path to that freedom. They trusted God, but they had no way of knowing that with certainty. But they stayed because they knew it was important. And church, we can learn a lot from them about how we live our lives today. Is freeing my physical chains more important than helping another person free their spiritual chains? That's an easy question to answer, right? It's no. That's the answer. But the harder question is, does my life reflect it? Does the way I live my life Monday through Saturday reflect the fact that my physical chains are less important than helping somebody be freed from their spiritual chains? We have a lot of opportunities, church. Paul and Silas could have been laser focused on their physical freedom that night and missed the opportunity to save this jailer and his family. They could have been so laser focused on getting free that they didn't sing about God or even acknowledge God, but maybe were trying to plot some escape. They could have been so laser focused on their freedom that when that earthquake opened that prison, they could have taken off like my dog does when the gates open. But they didn't, because that wasn't where their focus was. They were not laser focused on their physical freedom. They were laser focused on helping others come to know Jesus and experience spiritual freedom. Is that where my focus is? That's our challenge this week, church. That's our challenge. God, through Jesus, breaks chains. And one of the ways that he does that is through us. We have the opportunity, we encounter people every single day who are spiritually enslaved, spiritually in bondage, will be lost for eternity without Jesus. Are we as focused on serving them and helping them come to know him as we are about the physical chains we might have in our lives? That's our challenge. And we have an opportunity to talk about Jesus every day with people. We have a great opportunity coming up this week. Our VBS starts next week. What a great way to help start that conversation with somebody. Invite them, invite their kids to VBS. The best way to have somebody become interested in church is to get their kids interested in church. And we have a prime opportunity this week with our VBS coming up. A VBS that's going to be focused on fun, but more so than previous years, going to be focused on service and helping those in need. There's a lot of cool stuff coming. Be here. Invite people to be a part of that. Are we trying to help others find spiritual freedom today? Our God is a chain breaker, and He's broken our chains if we're Christians. Let's help other people find that as well. You know, shortly after the Civil War, and shortly after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued, a lady from the North stopped at a Southern hotel to have dinner. And the black waitress was serving her, and the waitress was kind of listless and inattentive and just kind of there. And the lady from the North said, "Why don't you seem happier? Don't you know you've been set free?" The waitress left for a period of time. And she came back with her eyes full of excitement. She said, "Ma'am, am I really free?" "Yes," said the woman from the North. You see, the waitress had heard about the Emancipation Proclamation, but she didn't really believe that it set her free. So she just continued to be a slave just as much after as she was before. She didn't believe it. Her failure of faith meant her failure of freedom. And don't we get in that same situation sometimes as believers in God? We come to Jesus. We experience that freedom, that eternal life that He promises. But then the world throws things at us, and Satan does what he can to drag us back into our old way of life to the point where we really begin to doubt if we've been freed at all. If you're in that situation this morning, remember, your God's promises are good. Your God's purpose is to save you, and He wants you to believe His truth. Jesus says in John 8:32, "The truth shall make you free." On the night of the emancipation of the Jamaican slaves in 1838, the slaves got together that morning and they built a mahogany coffin. And they spent the day putting remnants and relics of their slavery and their lives of bondage into this coffin. They put in there the whips and the torturing irons and the handcuffs and all the things that were used for that life. And at the stroke of midnight, when their emancipation took effect, they screwed the lid down on that coffin, and they lowered it into the ground and buried it. And they all stood there and held hands, and they sang, "God is so good. He is so good to me." We have to believe we have truly been set free by Jesus. And when we become a Christian, when we are buried in that baptism, we are leaving behind, we are burying the relics and the remnants of our past lives, our previous lives of slavery to sin. And we come up out of that water washed, new, with His Spirit living in us. We bury our relics just like the Jamaican slaves did. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Amen. That's what it's about. Are you ready to be free from the chains of sin? Are you ready to find true spiritual freedom, like the slave woman and the jailer and his family? If so, you can come to Jesus this morning. You know, all are invited to this freedom. All are invited to have their chains broken. Galatians 3:28 tells us there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All are invited. You know, this world is full of divisions, isn't it? This country is full of divisions, but God's word reminds us divisions don't exist in His kingdom. Slave people, free people, Jew, Gentile, black, Hispanic, whites, male, female, we are all the same in Christ Jesus. And we are all invited to experience this freedom, to experience the breaking and removal of the chains of sin. You have the freedom today to have a Savior. You have the freedom today to have your sins washed away. If you've never put Jesus Christ on in baptism, do that today. Become a Christian. Become a follower of God. Have a life with Him for eternity, where one day, when we're all in heaven together, we're going to get to talk to that slave woman. And we're going to get to talk to that jailer and his family. And I'm going to ask her, was Paul really annoyed, or was he just doing that out of the kindness of his heart? That's what we have to look forward to, church. And it is real. And it is true. Don't lose sight of that as you go about your life this week. Remember God. Remember His truths. And remember, even though situations in this earth might have you physically in chains, you can experience perfect and complete spiritual freedom. If you have a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.